almost wish I didn't have anything on my mind. Of course, that's a real struggle, though, when you don't have anything. But, you know, sometimes the Lord just, when you don't have anything set on your mind, He puts something on your mind, and it's a real blessing. I mean, He just multiplies it like He did the fish and the loaves. I mean, that was a real miracle that Jesus blessed that and gave it to His disciples, and they gave it to those 5,000. And there was plenty left over. 12 baskets of fragments left over. And I believe that God can take the small things and make it great. I know He can. You're looking at somebody. I mean, I'm not great. I'm not saying that, but I'm very small. And without the blessing of God and the Spirit of God, I'm sunk. I really am. Any of us are. But I've truly enjoyed the message, and I hope that the Lord will bless me to bring to you what I have on my mind. In the book of Daniel, in chapter 6, I want to start reading in verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could not find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Now, I'm going to have to skip over a lot of this because it's so much in it. But Daniel, of course, he's in captivity in Babylon and with the children of Israel. But God has highly favored Daniel, even down here in captivity. And he is even favored by Darius, this king, the ruler over the kingdom. And I believe that God has the king's heart in His hand, and He turneth it whithersoever He will as the rivers of water. I don't care who he is, God's over him. God has him under His dominion, in His control. And I believe that we see in this story, in this narrative, that God has this king, his heart in his hand, to favor Daniel. He sets up 120 princes over the kingdom, and three presidents, of whom that Daniel is first. Here's a Jew that this heathen king has set up first. And the Bible tells us that he is excellent in spirit. And these other men become envious and jealous of him, and they want to do away with him, and they meet together and they conspire. What are we going to do? How are we going to put this Daniel down? And so They couldn't find any fault in him concerning the kingdom. I mean, he was an excellent president. He was upright. They could find no fault nor flaw in him concerning the kingdom and his job that he was appointed by Darius to fulfill. They could not, because there was no fault. There was nothing in him that they could find whereby to accuse him and bring him down. So they said, well, we can't find any fault, any occasion against him concerning the kingdom. But the only thing that we can do is concerning the law of his God. Now they knew that Daniel trusted in the true and living God, the God that reigns and rules. They knew that. And they knew that Daniel was a praying man. They knew that he would only petition God, that he would only pray unto the Most High. And therefore they conspired and they come before Darius together, and they had planned this, and they had conspired and consulted together to establish a royal statute and a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, say, of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, they were wanting to get rid of Daniel. They were wanting him out of the picture. Yeah. And so they come before Darius. This is the way we're going to do it. We know that Daniel prays. And we're going to set this before the king. And he puts it into effect. And it can't be changed. This cannot be altered. When the king has signed it and put his signet on it, he cannot change it. And so he did. See, he didn't know about this conspiracy. He had no idea what was going on. And so it was, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed. Listen to this. When he knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, his windows being opened toward Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day. I mean, this was his practice. He prayed three times a day upon his knees toward Jerusalem and give God thanks as he did aforetime. Daniel was a fearing man before God. That is, he reverenced God and he prayed to God. And his window was open toward Jerusalem. He looked toward home, didn't he? He looked toward his homeland. And he prayed to God, and he cried unto God, and he was upon his knees before God, and he made his petition before God, knowing the results of him praying to God that he would be cast into the den of lions. But his fortitude, his firmness of mind, his courage, and his strength is displayed in his God here. I'll tell you what, he was a real hard shell, wasn't he? I mean, he would not be moved. He had no fear of these men. He had courage from God. He had strength from God. He was fortified from within. He knew that God was upon the throne. Therefore, he prayed to his God. These men, they found him praying. And they brought him before Darius. And of course, they related this decree and this law that could not be changed. And when they accused Daniel of praying to his God, it says that the king was sore displeased within himself. I mean, he was sorrowful because he did not want to cast Daniel into those den of lions. He tried in every way to find the loophole, but there was no loophole. He had signed it and put his signet upon this document, and it could not be changed. This was the law of the Medes and Persians. He couldn't change it.
And of course, these men, they kept saying, no decree or statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded that they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, listen, thy God, this is not a question.
No.
Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee.
Amen.
Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee.
Amen.
And so they brought him to the den of lions. This was not just a lion's den. There's lions in this den. This was the den of lions. And they cast him in. Would Darius, he didn't sleep all night. He fasted all night. And the instruments of music, they weren't brought before him. He was wrestling in his spirit all night because his friend, I believe that was his friend, down here in the den of lions. But, you know, to show you the will and the protection of God, when it is His will, and it was His will to protect Daniel from those ravenous beasts. And I'll tell you what, they were ravenous beasts. And if God had not been in that den of lions and sent His angel to shut the lion's mouth, they would have devoured him. They would have crushed him. But I believe that, as the Bible says, that God sent His angel and He closed the lion's mouth that they did him no hurt. Why, Daniel rested good down there in the den of lions. He may have even used one of those cats for his pillow that night because they could not hurt him. They were constrained from devouring him. And the king, early in the morning, he rushed to that den, and he, in a lamentable voice, he says, "O Daniel, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" And Daniel said, "O king, live forever. My God hath sent His angel and hath shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency is found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done, they have done me no hurt." I'll tell you what, this is not a fairy tale. This is real. This is concerning our God and His protection over His servant when he was in trouble. But God was with him, and God blessed him. And men were against him. Men meant to put him out of the way, to put him down, to destroy him. But I'm telling you that God has the enemy in His hand. He has the enemy in His hand. And Daniel lifted not his hand against them because he knew God would take care of the situation. And God did. And there's a scripture over here in the book of Psalms that really brings this home. In the book of Psalms, if I can find it real quick, it's over here in the first part of Psalms. I'll get to it. There it is. "He hath also prepared him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it, and is fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High." He's talking about those who conspire and dig a pit that He will bring them, and they will be thrown into their own pit that they have digged for someone else. And this happened right here. These men that conspired and wanted to do away with Daniel, what happened to them? Well, the king made a decree that those that had accused Daniel, that they should be cast into the den of lions with their children and their wives, and they threw them in there, and they were crushed and devoured. That's what happened to them. I'll tell you what. We can trust in God at all times that He is still on His throne, and He still is noticing and still with His people as they trust in Him and depend upon Him with whatever might come in our life. God will take vengeance. Vengeance is not ours. God will repay. You can mark that down, brother. He will repay. He will always repay. It may not be immediately. It may be down the road. But God will not forget. He will mete out His judgments upon those that come against His people, that are walking in His way, doing His will, and calling upon His name. God was with Daniel. I believe He's the same God. We sing that song, don't we? The same God that was with Daniel. The same God that was with the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. Now, I'm not going to get into that. The three Hebrew children. God was with them in the midst of the fire. That those flames would not burn them. Not even the smell of smoke was upon the their garments, and their hair was not singed because Jesus was in the midst, wasn't He? The Son of God. You know, the King Nebuchadnezzar, he bowed down and he looked into that fiery furnace, and he thought he was seeing things, but he wasn't. He says, "I see four." He said, "Didn't we not throw three men in there?" He says, "Is that not right?" In the affirmative, "Yes, we cast three men into the fire." He says, "I see four. And one is like the Son of God." He's like the Son of God. You know why? Because He was the Son of God. That's why. He was the Son of God. I'll tell you what, the Son of God's always been back there. He's been with His people. The Son of God existed before He ever came into this world and took upon Himself the form of a man. He existed. He was with His people. He was with the children of Israel in the wilderness. He is with them when they walked through the Red Sea on dry shod. He was there. The Son of God was there. The Son of God has not changed. He is not diminished in His power and His love for His people. Oh, aren't you thankful that you live in a day which the Son of God has already come in the flesh, and that He has already redeemed His people? They had to look forward to that. But we rest in that. We're basking in that this morning, aren't we? That the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm telling you about a man that was no fault in. Daniel was a good man. He was a righteous man. And there was no fault found in him by his accusers, but it does not mean that he did not have sin at all. But I'm telling you about a man right now that had no sin, that could not sin. It's not that he would not sin, he could not sin, because he was the Son of God. And this, my friends, is our hope of redemption, that Jesus Christ, who was the perfect and holy sacrifice unto God, He delivered His people. He saved them from their sins, and He bore the guilt in His own body and in His own soul. The travail of His soul, the crying of His soul before God, because our sins were laid upon Him. That's my hope this morning. And I'll tell you what, that's not a wish either. That's a hope that is the anchor of my soul, and it's sure and steadfast, and it entereth into that within the veil, whether the four runner hath for us entered, even Jesus. He's there now. He's been there. making intercession for His people, and because He has entered in within the veil, that's my and your blessed hope this morning, that our God is with us as we walk in His way. That He's not afar off, but that He's near. He's near. He is omnipresent. He dwells with His people. And therefore, I couldn't live without this, brethren. I couldn't make it through. I couldn't make it. Each day, you couldn't make it like you ought to make it each day without the Lord. Without calling upon Him and knowing that He hears and He bows down His ear and He's listening to our prayers and our petitions in whatever way He deals with it. It's all right because it'll be right. Amen. Whatever way He deals with any situation of our life, because we know He has the power and that He gives us the strength and the wisdom to know how we need to deal with the situations of life. And it may seem impossible at the time, but I'll tell you what, God, who is upon the throne and reigns, He can. There's nothing too hard for Him.
Right.
Nothing too hard that's in His will for Him to do. There's nothing too hard for God in our life. Jesus Christ, our Lord, don't you know He cares about us every day and the things that we pass through? If He loved us and gave Himself for us and He passed through dark trial Himself and died for us, don't you know His heart reaches out to us? His heart is upon His people. He's tender toward His people. There is nothing in this world, absolutely no enemy, that He can't deal with in His way, in His time, and deliver His people, you individually. However He does it, it'll be all right. May God bless you.